Hi, Jason. Well,
Hello, Tamara.
welcome to the call. Thank you very much. This is Tamara from Yoga Online Business, and today I'm very happy that I have an opportunity to talk to Jason Campbell from Zen Business Bootcamp. And Jason will be sharing will be sharing today. And will give us amazing tips to yoga teachers and independent yoga practitioners how to succeed in business. So, welcome. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
It's most appreciated.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me, Tamara.
Okay, great. First of all, tell us a little bit about your background. Tell the audience about Zen Business Bootcamp and how long you've been doing that, etc. And we'll take it from there.
Yeah, well, the Zen Business Bootcamp kind of sprung out of owning many wellness centers. I have been teaching, martial arts and yoga and qigong full time for the last 20 years. Between my business partner and I, we have opened up about 32 different studios, and we've worked with thousands of instructors, training instructors, certifying instructors in the different arts and the different disciplines. But then also about, let's say just under a decade ago, we started teaching some of the entrepreneurial skills that are necessary to succeed and to basically make a living as a teacher. Because see, it's what we found is that you can get a certification and you go out and you learn the whatever style it's going to be, and that's like one skill set. But the other skill set of actually, let's say, transmuting that teaching into making a living is a completely different skill set. And we really found that nobody was really teaching that. That was kind of like a void. And so there's a lot of wonderful teachers that can help a lot of people, are very good at what they do, but they weren't able to put it together and actually like manifest their dream. So we started this. It's gone through many, let's say, incarnations of it. So, the latest incarnation is Zen Business Bootcamp, where we do trainings and we have courses and we do seminars, we do teleconferences with select clients, some one-on-one coaching and mentoring. I mean, we just came off of a big event in Vegas about a week and a half ago there, and so we've been working with both studio owners and independent practitioners in teaching them how to, let's say, bridge that gap. Because what we do is very unique. It's like traditional business training, about 90% of it is going to be useless for us. And so a lot of times it's a whole different breed, let's say, succeeding as a spiritual entrepreneur.
Great. Well, I mean that's very interesting, and certainly here in the UK as well, there is a big, we always receive questions from teachers, and especially in particular teachers who recently qualified or who have been, teaching for some time. However, financially, they're not where they would like to be, so. What advice, what advice would you give, or how do you help, your clients, whether it's one-to-one or, with the, how shall I say, spiritual entrepreneurs when you work with them? So, what would be the best place for them to start if they're just starting out, and make sure that they have the right tools to succeed and maintain their success?
And that's a great question. And I'll answer that with a story.
Thank you.
Is I had a one of the courses that we did. It addresses this. It's called How to Become a Rockstar Independent Teacher. And when I do the teleconferences, occasionally there's time for Q&A. And so it was one independent teacher basically asked me. It was that question. It was a little bit more specific though. And she said, how do I market myself as an independent teacher, and what's the best way to market myself? And see, my answer to that question is That's the wrong question. Don't ask that question yet. The first question you want to ask is, what does my business and my life look like when I complete my vision? It's like, what is my vision? Because, see, the marketing has to tie into what your vision is. Now, the word I use for that, I call it the PLS, which is your preferred lifestyle. And that has to do with, you know, when you step back and you say, okay, what does my day look like? If I'm going to be an independent teacher, usually you're going to have, you know, you're going to teach at a few places. You might teach at a rec center. You might teach for some other yoga studios. And then you're going to have some sort of a private clientele. And then maybe a couple times a year you do retreats, depending on the level, how much experience you have. You might start like an instructor certification program, which I always recommend doing as long as, you know, you're qualified to do that. And so you start with, okay, like, what does my normal day look like, and what does this look like? And you start to kind of plan out, okay, I have, you know, X amount of privates and on this day, and I teach this class, and you kind of put together, you know, what your life looks like. And I like to think of it in terms of a week, like what's a typical week? A week is 168 hours.
Right.
And so we start with that, and then with that picture, then we start like filling in, let's say, filling in the spaces. It's like, okay, so I only need 8 private clients that I'm going to do on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or I need, you know, this, and I want to have 3 classes over here. And so we start working from there. And then so all of the advertising, or let's say marketing that you would do, would tie into that, you know, that big vision. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you got to go macro, and then you go into, micro.
Yeah. Okay, great. So it is really important to, have that, would that be right to say, to have that business model in place? I want to ask this question specifically because that's a question that, you know, really scares a lot of people, like yoga and having a business model. It kind of goes into ways sometimes that, oh, yoga, you know, is not a business, and there is a lot of resistance also that's going on sometimes, you know, quite internally, that I just want to teach, but I want to forget about business side. But it is important, isn't it, kind of to have that business model in place.
Yeah, you know what, and I like to call those yoga wealth wounds. That most in our community suffer from. And you see what happens is, all that really is, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of money.
Yeah.
I go into this in the, you know, more in the course, and I teach this in more detail in the live seminars, but think of a, you know, whether, you know, it's a pound, a dollar bill, a euro, whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's one unit of energy. And that unit of energy gets used as an exchange. And so if you give some of your energy to somebody, to teach somebody, well, the reciprocity is some energy should come back. Yeah. And actually, you know, it's output, input, like, you know, inhale, exhale, et cetera. And you create this energetic circuit. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to be money, that there has to be some sort of exchange with the student. Sometimes you do barter, and sometimes you have exchange that's not monetary.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you need, it's important to like drop some of the emotional attachments or some of the emotional baggage that a lot in our community have with the money, and thinking it's, you know, it's good, it's bad, it's evil, I don't want to deal with money, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's nothing. It's just a little silly green piece of paper that circulates around. And, you know, the reality is, if you're going to build your lifestyle, you need to deal with money. And what I suggest, and this is what I teach all of our clients, is that, you know, actually become a master of understanding money and understanding the nature of money, because if you do not master it, you will be a slave to it. And it's not that difficult to figure out. It's really not that tricky. You just have to deal with it. And then you can look at money like impartially, and then you go on and you pursue your craft. And then you do what you love to do, and you build your passion. I mean, we down here we're in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, we have studios, we have a, you know, big network of instructors, and you know, and there's a lot of us down here, like in our Zen Wellness organization, mm-hmm. That have built this and built their preferred lifestyle and are, like, let's say, living the yoga dream.
Yeah.
And, you know, teaching, some own studios, some are independent teachers. There's a lot of different ways to set it up. But the reason they're able to do that is because they did, you know, take the time just to learn about being a spiritual entrepreneur and just learn how to, you know, deal with and basically, you know, become the master of this energy, of this energy exchange.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. So it really is. It really should be an integral part of, you know, whether it's your yoga teaching or having a business model, to also understand and learn the skill called, whether it's money management or having creating positive attitudes around money. So it's not something optional that, you know, anyone can skip, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So tell us, like, just to you know, get to the, how shall I like to call it sometimes, practical issues. So when it comes to you know, marketing, so, right, say, you know, the teachers identify their vision, etc. So what would be, I mean, a lot of questions that I get is the budget when you're starting out is pretty limited, and you know, how do you make sure that you market and you leverage and you reach, you know, your target audience in a smart way and in an, you know, an effective way, so that basically you get clients, but on a consistent basis. So.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question, and it kind of ties into the earlier question of the answer to that is going to depend on, you know, basically what your vision is. Now, I'll give you a couple examples. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, some teachers have come on board and gone through our training, and they have a wonderful marketing budget of zero to start with. And what that teacher really needs to do is, you got to get a few gigs. You just got to get out there, especially if you just got your certification. You just have to get out there and do it. And even if in the beginning, if you're not making a lot of money in the beginning, it's fine for a class. If you're underpaid for a class, you just do it and you start to get momentum, because then what you want to do is you want to start to look at your classes. Mm-hmm. Now, there's sometimes that you have to check with the owner, depending on where you're doing this for the class, but let me give you the broad strokes here. You look at your classes as opportunities to create clients. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times for the beginning teacher, that's going to mean like private instruction. So when you're teaching your class, is it the class? Yes, of course it's the class. But guess what? Your best clients are going to come from that class. And so, you know, a lot of times what teachers will do is they will go in, you know, they'll get a few gigs with yoga classes, whether it's a Y, a gym, or another yoga studio, something like that. And then from the couple classes they start teaching, they'll start winding up with 5, 6, 7 privates. Mm-hmm. A week, and they start to build their clientele that way. And that would be like kind of like a very, let's say, organic guerrilla marketing.
Yeah.
You know, I have zero budget. I have more time than I have money.
I love that.
You know, way of assembling it. Now, there's other methods of doing it that you can get a little bit more sophisticated. I mean, that's if you have a budget. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, know this about budgets and about advertising budgets. It's a lot of times, well, if you can't create abundance with no money, you probably can't create abundance with money. Okay, then that's actually a really, really important part, because sometimes I'll hear from instructors, you know, they'll say, oh, well, if only I had some money to do this, you know, then I could create a clientele, or if only I had a budget for marketing. Yeah. You know, my problem is I don't have a budget for marketing. Well, that's actually nonsense. You don't need a budget. What you have to do is you need clarity, and you need to really know, like, what this looks like. And it's almost like, you know, what I had said earlier to your first question about, you know, you create, you know, what does my week look like? What is a really cool week that I'm going to enjoy? I'm going to have abundance. You know, how often am I teaching? You know, what does that look like? It's like you're creating like buckets almost. And then, so once you create the buckets, you fill the buckets. Now, in another analogy, it's like you're creating slots. And once you create the slot, then you let the slot get filled. What you don't want to do is what most teachers do, is they kind of build a yoga career like based on randomness.
Right.
You know? And it just kind of happens. And maybe there's a gig here and maybe there's a gig there. And it just kind of comes and they're taking privates just like randomly. I mean, you know, that's a personal preference. If that's how you enjoy it, that's cool. But if you're wanting to, like, you know, craft your reality, you're much better off starting big and then working in. If you actually have money to market, well, generally the best way right now, I believe, would be to do websites and to get yourself a good website. I mean, we talk all about this in the course, the How to Become an Independent Rockstar course, and like the key parts of the website and, you know, what to have, what not to have, et cetera, et cetera. What I recommend against is like newspaper advertising or any sort of print media. I personally, over the last 20 years, have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in print media, and the vast majority of it was a complete waste of money.
That's a great point, because that's another thing. Well, obviously, we live now in the 21st century, and it's probably the way we do business now looks like it's dramatically different from how we did like in the 20th century. And having a website, so would you say it's definitely, you know, it's worth investing if there is any budget for you?
Yeah, because, you know, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, because it just, again, there is a resistance of having a website or even a blog, simply because I think there is a fear that I don't understand technology. But what would you say?
Well, you know, think of a website as like a really cool business card.
That's brilliant.
And so, you know, and so is it worth investing in a website? Yes, it definitely is. You know, because, you know, think about, you want to get info on somebody, you go check out their website. Now, there's like key components that you want to have in your website, and there's key things you definitely don't want to do, you know, in your website. But the funny thing about technology is that now I'm okay with technology. I certainly don't do any web design. I don't do any HTML. I basically, I know just enough technology as I need to.
Yeah.
I don't know a drop more. It was a little challenge for me this morning to get on Skype with you, Tamara.
I understand.
Unreloaded. So that's about my personal limit with, you know, with technology. But, you know, to have, even if it's a very simple web page with just like a capture page that you can get some of their information is really, really important. You see, one of the things that holds a lot of us back in our community is I like to call it that we're all a bunch of perfectionists.
Right.
And we like everything to be perfect. But the problem is a lot of times, you know, as an entrepreneur and as, like, let's say a spiritual entrepreneur or just somebody who's, you know, working to, you know, make a living teaching these classes, it's waiting for perfection, it slows us down. I, by nature, am a perfectionist. I mean, my background before the Eastern Arts, I worked as a musician. So I like to say I'm a recovered perfectionist. and so what you have to do is just get the website up and just get something up. And it's kind of like you find what you're good enough is good enough. Ratio, and you value speed over perfection. How about that's another way of saying it? And you just, you know, you get a website up, and even if it's a business card or even if it's a gig, you just create momentum. Because a lot of times it's the, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know where to start, you know, I sit at home kind of doing nothing. You know, I say, okay, today I'm going to go get a yoga gig, and I wind up surfing the web for 4 hours, and and, you know, mistaking busyness with productivity.
clarity, I suppose, to have that clarity and map where you want to go, and just taking one step at a time. You mentioned that there are some fundamental do and don'ts when you have a website. Would you mind sharing with us what you
must
send?
That's great. Yeah. Well, the first and most important, second to none, goal of a website is to capture information of somebody that's interested in your product or service.
Yep.
And so you want to have somewhere in it a capture page. Now, there's many different ways of doing it, whether it's a pop-up, whether it's a little join our e-sign on the right, or, you know, whatever it is, or like the squeeze page where they give you their info to go into the sites.
Could you explain what is squeeze page for those that are not familiar?
That's when it'll pop up and it'll say, you know, to enter the site, tell me your name and email address. Mm-hmm. And then you enter your name and email, and then it drops you into the site. And basically, it's just another way of getting contact information. So that way, it's just a little bit more aggressive because they won't let you in until you give them the info.
Yeah.
So how you do it is secondary to the purpose of like seeing that that's what the web page is for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing that you want to do is you want to basically showcase who you are, and you want to have testimonials. And testimonials is probably the most important thing that you're really going to have on there. I mean, on the ZenBusinessBootcamp.com site, I think we have like 50 pages of scroll-down testimonials. I mean, and we haven't put them all up either. I mean, I have a whole stack of them. I just haven't sent to the web guy. And because what happens is that it's like I'll use this site as an example. I mean, you can, you know, look at me and you can read my bio and you can see the different things I've done. And it's like, okay, that's kind of interesting. But then when you read stories from clients, you know, I mean, one after another, after another, after another, saying, you know, different results, et cetera, they get. What happens is you're going to believe them more than you're going to believe me. And so think about that on your own site. Now, if you don't have any testimonials yet, okay, that's cool. Start getting testimonials and like a little quote from somebody. Again, it doesn't have to be elaborate. It can be two testimonials. You can, you know, get it from your best friend. You know?
Help. <It's, laughs> I remember my business mentor when I was kind of first starting out. We talked about testimonials, and he looked at me and said, go find two people, help right now, and get testimonials. just go find someone, help.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really important. And then you just grow it. And again, don't wait until perfection. Just get it up and just start growing it and growing it. You know, now, the other thing, yes, you want to have some of your bio is good. And I tell everyone that when writing a bio, make it more of a story and less of a just like a list of accomplishments.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone loves a story a little bit more than, you know, than just the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have, you know, what you do and, you know, why, how it benefits them.
Yeah. That's.
And then the other thing is how to sign up.
Yeah.
And make that very clear, how to contact you. And a lot of times for independent teachers, see, the private lessons and the private instruction is really good. I mean, here, I'll give you an example. And actually, I just got off the phone with her. She's an independent teacher I've been working with for about a year. She's in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this woman's wonderful. She's brilliant. She's beautiful. She's, you know, a really, really good teacher. But she was really, really struggling when she, you know, first came on board, you know, financially. It just wasn't happening. And so we basically painted her, like, what does this look like? And what she wanted to do is, you know, some of her work was to have some select private clients, and basically in her case was wealthy private clients, that pay her for her instruction, and she can still have her other gigs and, you know, do her stuff. But she kind of liked the idea of having a small group of private clients that she could really, really focus on.
Mm-hmm.
These would be, you know, basically, you know, wealthy New Yorkers,
yeah,
that could afford her. So she could really give, she could teach, and she still does her other classes. She teaches a bunch of classes at gyms and stuff. She does that kind of for fun because she likes to do it, and she likes to go through the whole, I mean, she loves to teach. It's what she does. And so, you know, we've kind of worked on a whole plan for it of, you know, okay, how do we create that? What does this look like? And she, you know, she went through all the steps, and, you know, and as a result, I mean, I just got off the phone with her this morning before this call. I mean, she was invited down to teach every summer or every weekend in the summers for Martha's Vineyard for 2 days, and they're flying her down, and she has these private clients. The payer, it's actually, it's a lot, I don't know if I, well, it's, they pay her a lot of money to work with her. Yeah. And again, it's not about the money so much. It's about her setting up, how does she want to live? And, you know, who does she want to work with? And, you know, what does her life look like? And, you know, and it's, it does work. You see, what happens is that most of us overestimate what we can do in 1 year and underestimate what we can do in 5 years. In 5 years, if you stay focused on any sort of like vision or any sort of reality, mm-hmm. you can make it happen. I mean, you just, but it comes down to what I said in the beginning, having like real clarity mm-hmm. on like, what does your life look like and what does your career look like? And, you know, the thing I didn't even mention in the beginning is what we also have to go into is, you know, this is not, you can't look at what we do as just like a 9-to-5 job, yeah. or, you know, sitting in a cubicle. That's not it. You know, a lot of times people will say, oh, you got to separate, you know, business and personal, and you have to make it completely separate. And there's some truth to that, but in what we do, this is art. And, yeah. you know, and we get involved in what we do because we love what we do. And guess what? Personal is practicing. You know, you do your practice and you go through your sun cells and, you know, you do your routine and you read and you meditate. And so it's really, you know, part of being a spiritual entrepreneur is when you're able to merge, you know, your business and your life. And so it's almost like the business or the entrepreneurial part of it just is a natural extension of who you already are. It's not like this separate box. It's like, yeah. no, this is who I am, and I teach, and I give, and I share what I do, and I create my life, and I have clients, and I'm helping these clients, and yes, I get paid for it, and that finances me, and that funds me, so I can continue to do it. But you kind of work it all together,
yeah.
As opposed to, you know, having the separate, oh, I'm working, and oh, I'm not working, you know, having that type of attitude.
Yeah. Great, that's really beautiful, and I totally agree. I mean, it should be part of you. I mean, it's you gotta enjoy what you're doing. It can't be just job, otherwise that's wrong. And that's where it's I get so passionate, because teachers, I mean, you can't probably be a teacher, yoga teacher, if you really don't like it. I mean, you can somehow end up and work in finance for whatever reason, right. but you can't happen to be a yoga teacher if you truly don't love. So it's great how you, you know, help yoga teachers and, you know, to enjoy more of what they do. So that's really great and beautiful to hear that. Thanks for sharing. Jason, can I ask you like to, you know, another question is, I know so many teachers who are very, very successful, and they have basically more than enough clients, and they're completely burnt out because they don't want to teach, and they always, what would you advise them? I mean, I there are so many teachers who have more than enough clients, and they actually complain, yeah. I don't want to teach, and that it's somehow, you know, they don't seem to have that alternative. Like, any advice to those teachers?
Oh yeah, oh absolutely. No, and I can tell you. I mean, if you do this long enough, mm-hmm. what happens is you go through many different phases of teaching, and you go through, and that's kind of like a burnout phase. That, you know, if you do it long enough, it's pretty likely that you're going to experience it. I certainly have experienced it at different parts in my life. It's a natural phenomenon, and usually what happens is burnout generally occurs when energetically you're putting out more than you're taking in, and that can show up a lot of different ways, but that's really what it comes for. It's like outflow and inflow. Now, sometimes that has to do with money, sometimes it doesn't, and it can have to do with money is if you're working your butt off. You know, you're running around like a crazy person, teaching all these classes, dealing with all these clients, you know, and you feel like you're working, and then you have more month at the end of the money instead of money at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And so And so that's a lot of times when burnout occurs. You know, it's like, it's also when I work with, you know, studio owners that happens. It's like they work really, really hard, and at the end of the month they get a bill for $4,000 or pounds, you know, to keep the lights burning in the studio. Well, okay, that's one way of burning out. The other way is, okay, there's not really a financial issue. You're paying your bills, you're making money, fine, but you're, you know, you're teaching and you don't, you lose like the passion, and you lose, you know, it becomes a job. And a lot of times it becomes a job. There's a bunch of reasons. One is because you're not practicing as much as you normally practice. Two, you're not learning new things. You know, you're kind of, you're not studying with a teacher, and you're not inspired about your own personal growth. I mean, we do Qigong certifications, mm-hmm. Medical Qigong. I know there's medical, martial, and spiritual, Qigong. We start everybody with the medical Qigong.
Yeah.
And the majority of our clients are yoga instructors, mm-hmm. you know, yoga teachers, although we teach a lot of martial arts studio owners as well. But we have these teachers, and they'll go through our certification, like our, we have a home study, 200 hours, mm-hmm. and they'll say that it totally, like, reinvigorated their personal practice. Because the Qigong, like, you can superimpose it on all the yoga that you're doing, and it will greatly deepen your understanding of all the yoga. I mean, they all come from the same root 5,000 years ago. It's all Vedic. Just the Taoist Qigong was like kind of like a Chinese interpretation that grew for many thousands of years, and obviously the Vedas, they stayed in India. And so we get that a lot. We get like a lot of, thank yous. I'm passionate about my practice now. So that's the second reason that happens, is that, you know, they're not constantly learning and constantly growing. And then the other thing that happens, and this is so common, I see this all the time tomorrow, is that your clients and your career happened by accident and not by design. Okay, and what that means is almost like you're planting a garden, but you didn't plant it out beforehand. And you got some beautiful flowers in there. You got some nice roses and some tulips, and yeah, there's some weeds. Mm-hmm. But it's a random garden, and it's not an orderly garden. And so that's kind of like when the career happens by accident. What they didn't do is they didn't say, hey, what does my great week look like? How many classes am I teaching? How many clients do I have? And then you limit it from there. Now, and then one thing that you can do, and this might, for some of you listening to this, this might make the hair on the back of your neck go up. But when you're in that situation, you can cut down clients and raise your prices.
Yeah, that's an option.
It's okay to do. Now, chances are most of you listening to this don't charge enough for your time and your private lessons. And, you know, I get all into this on the How to Become a Rockstar Independent Teacher mm-hmm. course. We do a whole segment on this. But generally, it goes back to like the, you know, like the wealth wounds, the yoga wealth wounds that we spoke about earlier. But back to your question, that's a lot of times that's, you know, where that type of energetic burnout comes from, because everything has cycles. It's like everything has its seasons. I mean, in the many years that I've been doing this, I have seen so many things come and go, and so many seasons come and go, and the trends come and go, and I've seen studios come and go, and instructors come and go, and economies and recessions and fads and, you know, bubbles and bursts and, you know, and so it's like everything has its cycle that, you know, that you move to. So when you do experience that, you know, that's always what I suggest, and it's not that hard to fix. And it's really, you know, and in terms of like, let's say upgrading it, you just have to want to. You know, you have to say, I'm a little burnt out now, I'm in a rut. I got to get some of my passion back, get some of the juice flowing again. You know, and then you go out, you start learning, you start training, you know, you start creating more abundance, creating more revenue. It's not that difficult to fix. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks so much for sharing. That's really great. And that's great tip for everyone. Great advice. Yeah, and it just probably like, you know, one question I really, really would like to cover is obviously when we first, you know, start out, so we just want to really make it work right now and etc. But how important is it to have that vision, how you're going to grow or even how to maintain that consistency? Because what I notice that quite often people get locked into, like some of my clients that, I want to make it work right now. And that kind of moves them away from the, you know, the bigger vision, or there's no much planning going on where I want to be after 3 years' time, 5 years' time. Maybe I want to grow, you know, to a bigger space, have like five more studios. Do you think it's really important to plan that, you know, in the beginning when you're just starting out, that kind of?
Yeah, you know, that's a great, great question. And the answer to that, it really depends. Now, it depends, you know, I was talking earlier, it's like, you know, the different seasons. It kind of depends on, you know, where your head is at, you know. I will tell you this, if you create a vision, the likelihood of you manifesting it is that much better. Now, sometimes people are in like stages of their life where it's like, okay, I just kind of don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to roll with this and see where it goes. And okay, that's cool. I mean, you know, it's a little more random what happens there than if you, you know, create that sort of vision. But you know, it's like, you know, what I tend to find like with my clients is there are different approaches. Now, there's some people that go the all spiritual, no material route, and that's kind of like a monk. And I'm friends with monks, and I'm friends with Taoist monks and Buddhist monks, and I hang out with them, and I learn from them, and you know, Shaolin monks as well. And those are some of the most amazing people. They're just wonderful people, and you know, a lot of like my spiritual practice and my spiritual discipline has come from my time, you know, hanging out with them. And they're not people that really are into, they're not into manifesting. They're not into creating a reality. They just kind of roll with it. They do their thing. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I'll support them and I'll write them checks, you know, to continue to help them do their things, because I think it's wonderful, and they're wonderful human beings. Yeah. Now, that's one way to go. And a lot of people in yoga are more interested in that. Now, the other way to go is to say, well, what if I did this? Like, we're basically, you know, we have this short period of life, you know, that we have X amount of years, you know, until we die. You know, one of my Taoist masters always used to say to me, Jason, don't worry about being one with the universe right now. You have all of eternity to be one with the universe.
That's wonderful.
He said, you know, you have this short period of, yeah, isn't that great? He said, you have this short period of time of separateness, you know, where you get to experience your flesh and experience form and experience the dance of form. He said, enjoy it, like really, really enjoy this and love the separateness and, you know, and love the experience of life. And so, you know, if you're going to take that, then it's like, if you look at it, well, basically we're reality producing machines. You know, as a man thinketh, he shall become. It's like the vision starts in our head, and then it manifests. You know, the Taoist alchemy, they call that Shen, Qi, and Jing. Like Shen is a thought or idea. Qi is like Qi, Q-I, or C-H-I, like prana, energy, breath. And then Jing would be something solid that would be like bone. And Jing is like the manifestation of Shen, which is the idea. And so that's, we go into, look, we're these reality producing machines. So why not create a really cool life and create a lifestyle that's fun, that's passionate, that supports me, it supports my art, it supports others, and I have a good circulation of energy. Which is abundance. Because see, abundance is a funny thing. Yeah. Abundance is knowing what is enough. You know, I can, you know, my son, he's 10 years old, and he said to me, you know, hey, Dad, can we do some business together?
Wow.
And I said, sure. I said, sure. What do you need? Because he helps me in one of my centers, and I pay him. I teach my kids how to be, you know, entrepreneurs. And I said, well, why do you say that, Jake? And he says, well, Dad, he goes, I have $60, so I feel better if I have $100. So I'm a little low, Dad. I'd like to make $40. And it was really interesting because he, like, in his mind, in a little 10-year-old's brain, like, $100 means abundance to him. Yeah. And $60 doesn't quite mean abundance, you know? So, but what happens is we have this, like, floating number that we have in our head on what is abundance. And, you know, and a lot of times, and you know, you can say to, you can, I can say to a group, you know, who here thinks that all of your money problems will be solved if you can only double your income? Mm-hmm. And most people will raise their hand when I say that in the seminars. Now, that's, I say that at the very beginning of the seminars. If I say that at the end of my seminars, they'll all know that, that that's not true. Abundance is not just about doubling your income. Abundance is an emotion. Mm-hmm. And abundance is knowing that there's enough and knowing that, you know, ultimately, you know, the universe provides. Now, you know, having income and, you know, income goals and, you know, deciding what is the income that I want to finance my incredible lifestyle, you know, my abundant, wonderful life. Well, that's something else. That's like, you know, that's okay. Let's do some, let's intelligent design and let's do good business here and let's be smart. But you got to realize that it's separate. Abundance is just an emotion. And whether you're a 10-year-old who, you know, has abundance is to him is $100, yeah. You know, or, you know, a 30-year-old, you know, probably abundance is going to be more than $100. You know, if you got a rent payment or a mortgage payment and a car payment or, you know, and you have, you know, all these other things. So it's kind of like you really got to separate that. And then if you say, okay, if I'm going to play in the world of form, if I'm going to participate, not like a monk, well, hey, let's get good at it. You know, let's use intelligent design. Let's be intelligent and let's create this. And let's take the same level of mastery that I apply towards my yoga and apply it towards my life. And, you know, and have that in for life design.
Great. That's great. I mean, I enjoyed and I certainly learned, you know, so many new things. And it's so inspiring to listen to you, Jason. Thank you so much for sharing. That's just wonderful. I mean, I could ask now so many questions, but I think we can go on and on about that. For that, hopefully, we will meet up at the live seminar and we'll have that opportunity. But until then, I really, really would like to give thanks to you. And one more thing, so you mentioned this product, How to Become a Rockstar for Independent Teachers. So if teachers wanted to, you know, get hold for the product, you know, how can they reach you and how can they get in touch with you and how can they access the product? Because I think that will be so helpful and so valuable to them.
Okay, that's great. The website, we have a few different websites. For the entrepreneurial training, it's zenbusinessbootcamp.com, mm-hmm. like Z-E-N business bootcamp.com. And then for our Qigong certifications, our, you know, yoga certifications, it's Zen Wellness, Z-E-N Wellness, WELLNESS.com. And also, I believe, what we spoke about tomorrow is we'll have some sort of link on one of your sites as well for some of the products, you know, some of the things that they can get as well to for the, you know, rockstar independent teacher.
All right. Okay, that's great. Thank you, Jason, very much once again, and most appreciated, and I'm sure everyone will find every single word so valuable. Thanks a lot, and I look forward to having another interview already.
Well, hey, thank you so much, Tamara, for having me, and also, hey, thank you to you for, you know, really working with yoga instructors and into helping them manifest their lives.
Thank you.
You know, because, you know, there's a lot of great teachers that haven't put together, you know, how to set up their life and haven't done it. So I appreciate that you're out on the cutting edge out there in England helping the instructors.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jason. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks a lot. Bye for now.